Hello, thank you for joining us today on this sixth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Throughout this feast, we have been celebrating the kingdom of God. When we look towards this future time, there are many things we might envision. We've read prophecies where animals will be at peace with each other and with people. Even though it may be hard to fully imagine today, we are told the predatory animals will be so tame that a child will lead them. We think of the power of God who has created a wonderful planet on which we live, and today's balance of nature where some animals hunt and kill other animals for survival. During this future time, their nature will be changed. Carnivores will become herbivores. Different species of animals that today might be seen as natural enemies will live peacefully with each other, because all will have all the food and water they will want. The kingdom of God will be a much different time than the world we live in today. The world we live in today is on the same planet created by God so very long ago, but because of mankind, the planet we live on today is different than the planet created by God. When God creates perfection, and our planet was created with that same level of perfection. Scientists of today talk of balanced ecosystems, and when God created this planet and the life that is on it, a balanced ecosystem was created. Then mankind was created. What's interesting for people is that people tend not to understand what they have and don't have. If you live in a relatively pollution-free area, you probably won't think about pollution until maybe you visit an area where there is more pollution. You might not even value nature because it's around you every day. If you live in an area with many different types of pollution, like a crowded metro area, you might not think anything different about the pollution because pollution is all you have known. And that might not change until you visit a relatively pollution-free area. When mankind was created, mankind didn't comprehend the balanced ecosystem of the planet on which they lived. They saw and experienced what they saw and experienced, never fully understanding they were living in a perfectly created balanced ecosystem. People were deceived and began to sin. It wouldn't take long for the planet that was created in perfection by God to be inhabited by people who sinned. Evil multiplied upon evil till all the people thought about was evil. Even what might have fringes of good about it was framed with an evil. The evil of mankind was so great that God decided the only solution was to destroy all living things on earth, except for a few that would be safe in an ark. In a world where people were driven by evil, there was Noah, who walked with God. Walking with God when everyone else only thinks of evil would be like living in a place where everyone else spoke a different language than you. Noah, who walked with God, would have been like an outsider within his community. He would not have fit in with everyone else. Everyone else was focused on evil and those things touching on evil. Noah walked with God. And when Noah was told to build the ark, even though there were no immediate signs of a flood that would be an extinction-level event, building an ark is exactly what Noah did. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. In a world where everyone thought of evil, only Noah, his extended family, and the animals on the ark were spared. Generations would come and go, and then there was born a person who was named Abram, who would later be called Abraham. Abram had already departed for the land told to him by God, and that had happened at an age when most people would be celebrating grandchildren and maybe even great-grandchildren. Yet for Abram, there had not even been a child for him. He was thinking that descendants attributed to him might need to come through household staff. In a vision, God showed Abram that his descendants would be as hard to count as the stars in the night sky. Abram lived in an area where there would be no pollution and the stars would be easy to see. Abram believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Generations would come and go. Israel would find itself in captivity in Egypt, and then through Moses was brought to the promised land. There would be good times and bad times, and during a time of extreme drought, when the judges ruled, that a family went to live in Moab because food was available there. The man died, and then the sons died, leaving the widow Naomi alone in Moab with her two daughters-in-law. When Naomi heard that food was once again in ready supply in Israel, she prepared to return. Ruth 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. As Naomi and her daughters-in-law were returning to Israel, Naomi urged them to stay in Moab because she was unsure if there would be any future for them in Israel, even though both of them had told her they would go to Israel with her. Verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. And the Lord deal kindly with you as you be dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Orpah thought about it and returned to her people in Moab. But Ruth decided to stay with Naomi and asked her not to prevent her journey to Israel with her. She explained that she would go wherever Naomi went, that her people would become her people, and that her God would be her God. Verse 15. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. In a world where evil seemed to triumph, Noah, Abram, and Ruth all displayed godliness. As we celebrate the kingdom of God through this feast, we also celebrate godliness, because godliness will be a quality found within the kingdom of God. For too many, godliness remains a mystery, and Paul wrote of this to Timothy. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Living in the end time, we live in a time when some depart from the faith, being deceived and led astray, as if they forgot about the serpent in the Garden of Eden that deceived Eve. During this end time, we are not to go down spiritual rabbit holes. There are no special doctrines we need to establish. All that we need is given to us through the pages of the Bible. Living in a world that finds adventure in the mysteries of man and that seeks to extend youth through physical fitness, it is best for us to spiritually exercise ourselves to godliness. Just like a person might physically exercise to be physically in shape, we need to be spiritually in shape. What the Bible calls godliness. And godliness leads to many wonderful things for us. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created, to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Later, in that same letter to Timothy, Paul wrote that doctrine needed to be aligned to godliness. He told him to withdraw himself from people who focused on words and not actions, who believe that physical wealth is a sign of godliness. He concluded that godliness itself is valuable. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul explained that all who live godly will suffer persecution, while those who are evil will increase, suggesting that those who live a godly life will decrease. Seeing the growth of evil and the decline of godliness, Timothy was encouraged to continue in the faith, as this would lead to salvation. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Seeing all that grabs our attention in the life we live, we are reminded to seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. It is during the Feast of Tabernacles we celebrate the kingdom of God, and day by day throughout the year, we seek it first along with the righteousness of God, what leads to godliness. We do this while also having our many needs that have to be met. We can take comfort knowing that God will provide for us, because he already knows our needs. Matthew 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We are reminded in the Psalms that we are blessed when we do not do what the ungodly tell us to do. We do not do what sinners do, and we do not look down on others thinking we are better than they are. We are to find happiness by doing what God expects of us, by living a life of godliness. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Micah reminds us that God is not impressed with wealth or the willingness to offer sacrifice for sin. God wants us to do what is good, to live a life of godliness, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Micah 6, verse 6. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Zephaniah explains that in the kingdom of God there will be a pure language so that all can call upon the name of the Lord to serve him, showing that living a life of godliness will be a focus for all in the kingdom of God. With that focus of godliness, God will forever secure the future of his people, and they will be known throughout the world. Zephaniah 3, verse 8. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to pray. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day thou shalt not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he hath cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel, even the Lord, in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear thou not, and to Zion let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. The kingdom of God will be established when the church, the bride of Christ, is spiritually ready. God's purpose is to bring all to salvation, and the church will be spiritually ready when we are collectively living a godly life. Revelation 19, verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. When we think of godliness, we might think of the verses from Matthew, which tell us to be perfect as God our Father is perfect. Jesus reminds us the life that we must live, a life of godliness, is not a life of revenge or getting even. There is nothing for us in godliness that should give us any thought of retribution. Matthew 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. We are to love those who do not love us, and we are told to be perfect as our Father who is in heaven is perfect. That process of perfection comes by living a godly life, where we focus on living a life of godliness. If we want a glimpse of what perfection is, we could read the parallel account in Luke, where we are told to be merciful as God our Father in heaven is merciful. For now, we will continue with verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In Old Testament times, there was the temple of God. Spiritually, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just like God could be found in the Holy of Holies of the temple, the body is a vessel for the Holy Spirit through our mind. The mind is a wonderful gift from God, and so much of what we do physically influences how we think. Diet, exercise, and other healthy habits like getting enough sleep can and will impact how our mind thinks. Knowing this, and wanting to live a life of godliness as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, how we live our lives, the foods we eat, the beverages we drink, and the other healthy habits of our life need to reflect a life of godliness. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because all of our bodies are uniquely different, and because we come from different areas of this world where not all things are available to the same degree, there is no secret diet and regimen of health we need to follow. We all should be choosing to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, doing nothing to bring dishonor to God through our bodies and mind. In John's first letter, we are reminded of the need to purify ourselves because God is pure, and to do righteousness because God is righteous. In short, John is reminding us of the need to live a life of godliness. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is born of God. God the Father and Jesus Christ want us to share in glory, to become one with them. That means we have to be living a life of godliness. As we celebrate the kingdom of God during the Feast of Tabernacles, we are acknowledging the need to live a life of godliness. And godliness includes love. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Through the letter of Jude, we are told to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Living a life of godliness means we never shrink back in faith. We never surrender what we believe, or even a small part of what we believe, just because it is more convenient for us. Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. As we live a life of godliness, we can remember the examples given to us in the Bible, how through the lies of Satan, sin brought down so many people. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. If we compromise and give place to sin in our life, that will diminish our spiritual life and impact the sincerity of our beliefs. We cannot be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles and other holy days just for show and think anything good will come from that. We need to be seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, meaning we are seeking what it is to live a life of godliness. Verse 12. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about a winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. As we seek what it is to live a life of godliness, by no means does it mean we will suddenly come to a place of perfect godliness, almost as if a light switch was turned on. Being told that we must first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness should clue us in that the pursuit of godliness requires consistent and great effort over a long period of time. We are not told to find the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, but to seek these things first. If something can be found, then once it is found, we're done. But seeking is something we will do for the rest of our life. Ideally, through the process, we will develop godliness and deeper forms of godliness in our lives. We continue our search for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness during a time when those who are not yet called will make fun of us. Their effort to justify the sin in their lives often requires the belittling of others who choose to live a godly life. Verse 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Godliness is something that must become part of our life. We also keep ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ that will grant us eternal life. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God will be a much different time than the world we know today. Today, it is only those who seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness that focus on living a life of godliness. In the kingdom of God, which we celebrate during the Feast of Tabernacles, all will be living a life of godliness. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together tomorrow on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Until then, thank you for joining us today.